One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
We need to get a burden for the spiritual welfare of the people. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'm thinking about a very lovely young couple. How old, I do not know. But I know one thing, they were old enough to get married, and they were engaged. And in this book of Matthew, chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that presented a real problem. Even though Isaiah 7 and verse 14 had said a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, even though Isaiah 9 and verse 6 said, they'll call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And they were not prepared. I don't think anybody could have been prepared for such an experience. And so, we're going to face, I think, some things tonight in the message that I think are very, very precious in a day of limited revelation, because this is the first gospel and Jesus has not been born. The Holy Spirit has not come, even though she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, but he was the unknown person in the world at that time and still is largely across America. Then Joseph, her husband or husband-to-be, being a just man. Now that's important. A just man. You know what a just man is? That's a man who's been forgiven of his sin. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace. He was a just man. Didn't mean that he wouldn't have some trouble, but notice how he came out. He was a just man and not willing to make her a public example. That's one reason you know he was just. He could have said, I'll never put up with anything like this. I've been deceived. I've been fooled. I'm disappointed. And my girlfriend has trifled on me. But not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, now that's my text tonight. While he thought. While he thought. I preached the other night on the forgotten art, and that's think. While he thought on these things. Reckon what he thought? What would your thought? If you'd have been engaged and timidly and maybe with a great deal of embarrassment, your sweetheart, that you'd treated like a sweetheart and like a lady, and as the old-timers used to say, like your sister, And she just said, Joe, and I realize we're on real sacred ground tonight. And maybe for a number of dates or times they got together, and she said, I've got to tell him. I must tell him. I wonder if he'll understand. And finally the time came when she said, tonight I'm going to tell him, or the next time I see him. And she said, Joe, or Joseph, I've got something I must tell you. And I trust you'll understand. I hope you'll understand. It sure will take a lot of confidence in me. You'll have to really trust me if you understand. And he said, well, Mary, what is it? I think I'd believe no matter what you said, I'd believe you. She said, I hope you will. He said, I'm expecting. He said, you're what? I mean, while he thought, I'm expecting. Joseph said, you couldn't be, Mary. She said, but I am. And who have you been with? Nobody. Just you, Joseph. Well, he said, you know I've treated you like a lady. You know that we've never stepped aside. Our courtship has been pure and clean. You know that, don't you? She said, yes. But the fact remains that I am expecting, and I've never been with a man where this could happen. While he thought on these things. But you know what? Though he was a just man, he did not have enough faith to really believe. And he broke the engagement and went home. And the Bible said, while he thought. Now remember this, he didn't have the book of Matthew to read. It's just being recorded. I mean, the happenings are just... He didn't have the book of Romans about justification. He didn't have the book of Acts. He didn't have the fullness of the Spirit. There wasn't any church for him to go to. He didn't have a pastor that could counsel with him. He walked home after the engagement was broken. And while he thought, I will give him credit for at least being just enough not to expose Mary. He said, I could never do that. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to do this publicly. I'm going to quietly ease out of your life, and that's it. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, how do you know that he was just? He believed the Holy Ghost. He was obedient when the Holy Ghost revealed. You'd say it was just in a dream. I know, but he didn't have the Bible, didn't have the fullness of the Spirit. The Lord can speak to you. All right, now then, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary to be thy wife, because this is of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Now, I like this part of it, verse 121. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, folks, that's the reason that we need to call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. And that's the thing that's vital and important. We need a Savior. We don't need a good man. We don't need a church. We don't need a baptismal pool. We need a Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. You know who gets people saved? People that preach Jesus. You know who people that never get nobody saved? The people that preach God, the Almighty, and the great higher being. Brother, if you want to get somebody saved, tell them about Jesus. And any of you boys and you other fellows, I've been hearing your testimonies. I mean, just talk about Jesus. Preach Jesus. I've told my preachers, everyone I've ever ordained, if you ever preach one sermon and do not mention the name of Jesus, I hope you'll be lockjawed for at least a year. Why do you want to preach if you don't? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know in the book of Acts what they said? We don't mind you preaching, just don't mention Jesus. You, every time you start getting preaching Jesus, you have miracles taking place. And this man doeth miracles, and what do we? And so, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, here we are, Isaiah, come on in. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now then, I'm going to show you the real streak of character in a just man that maybe we've not thought about. Joseph is one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. I think Joseph of the Old Testament and Joseph of the New Testament are two of the greatest men that ever lived. Call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, let's do a little thinking for ourselves. Joseph thought himself to sleep. The engagement is off. His wife that he thought he was going to get married to is no more. He called it quits. Now then, he thought himself to sleep. When he got asleep, an angel came in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid. The Messiah is going to come. Your wife is going to be the mother, and you're going to be the foster father. Not going to be your son. You're not the father of it, and you know that. God is going to be the father, and you're going to have the privilege of holding God in your arms. Think of it. I mean, you're going to be the custodian, if you please, for God's son. You're going to make a living. You're going to be working at the carpenter's bench. You're going to be making furniture, tables, and chairs in order to buy food to keep God alive while he's little and just a little baby. Can you imagine? Don't you imagine when he woke up, he said, man, I'm of all men most blessed. That's the greatest dream I ever had in my life. I want you to know, he said, Lord, I thank you for that dream. And I imagine he got on his clothes and he took off down the road. Don't you imagine? I don't know all about it, and of course God doesn't waste a lot of room and space in the Bible, but I imagine somebody was knocking on the door. Mary! Yes? I got something to tell you. Oh, listen. Let's renew our engagement. I'm telling you, I'm happy. She said, what happened? I tried to tell you. Boy, he said, I know. But the Lord had to tell me. And the Lord came and visited me in a dream and told me, sure enough, that the Messiah's coming. Now remember, he's a just man. See, an unsaved man couldn't believe this. That's the reason unsaved people don't believe in the virgin birth. That's the reason unsaved people don't believe in the new birth. That's the reason they don't believe the Bible. That's the reason they want to rewrite the Bible. The natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, the carnal man, enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He was a just man, and he believed. And when the Lord visited him in a dream, and it won't make any difference how the Lord visits you to believe it if you're just. I don't mean to be facetious, but the Lord could come blowing through here in a sparrow, or a field lark, or a mockingbird. And if the Lord was in the bird and told the bird to tell me something, if I'm just, I'll believe the bird when he comes in. And you will too. I get sick of these people always wanting to question God and question the Word of God and higher criticism and all that kind of junk. Brother, just believe it. God will bless you when you do. And so I imagine Mary was very happy. I imagine they talked and did some more thinking. Now then, verse 25. Now this is sort of a challenge, isn't it, right here? This is maybe a little difficult for this sexpot age to believe. Undisciplined. I'm ashamed almost of the human race because of its low-down living. Portrayed in television, pornography, newspapers, and sex education, and all the rest of it. But read the 25th verse. And he knew her not till she'd brought forth her firstborn son, called his name Jesus. I said we was on sacred ground. They got married. And Joseph said, we'll certainly not live as husband and wife. Just the sweetest of friends and husband and wife. But until Jesus, God's Son, is born. That's a little different from this age, isn't it? When people think they can build a home and a marriage on the flesh, you'll be disappointed every time. No need swapping her off. You know, I haven't told in a long time, but it's an old, old story. Ms. Roloff gave me for a Christmas present the book of Aesop's Fables. Got more wisdom in those Aesop's Fables than you have most of the people with doctor's degrees today. But I was told many, many years ago about an old farmer that decided and thought about it, and as the story went, there was a wife swapping place, and he said to his wife, it worked hard, I believe I'll swap you all. You're getting a little wrinkled, and she said, but I've worked so hard, honey, you're not going to, oh yeah, said, I believe I'll just swap you all. And he said, get your best dress on now. And so he took her into town, and there they were, the story said. And he told her to get over to a certain place, and she minded him and said, all right. And so he made his rounds, and he saw this one and that one and the other one. And he began to consider all the features and the appearance, and he talked to them, and he walked by them, and late in the day, he'd made a round, the story went, came back to his wife and said, honey, I can't make no improvement on you. Come on, you go home with me. Well, you know, Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'd like to say in closing, I'm completely satisfied with Jesus. I've never been satisfied by anybody or anything. And if you were to give me $1 billion, I would not be satisfied with it if I had to keep it. There's no way you don't have anything. Every once in a while the devil comes and said, hey, I'd like to give you something. I said, you're too late. I already have everything. I have Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.